We have a important Gemara Maseches Moed Katan Daf Chavches where we're told Lama Nismacha Misas Miriam the Parshas Para Aduma. Why do we have the story, the mitzvah of Para Aduma, that is addressed immediately following the story of the death of Miriam Hatzadeka? Says the Gemara, the reason why these two parashios are next to each other is Lama Lach to teach you Ma Para Aduma Mechaperas, just like the mitzvah of Para Aduma, if we do it properly, it is mechaper for us. Af misasan shela tzadikim mechaperes. So too, the death of a righteous person is mechaper as well. And as we know, unfortunately, we just had the terrible experience this past Shabbos, where we had one of the kedoshim who was killed in San Diego, and it gives us an opportunity to think once again about what it means to have misas hatzadikim, the ksav sofer their rights. Why does the Gemara say that we have Misas Miriam is put right next to the Parsha of Para Aduma? What about all the other Karbanos? Why don't you put the death of Miriam next to Karban Chatos, Karban Ola, Karban Asham? Why do we choose Para Aduma as opposed to any of the other Karbanos? Don't all the Karbanos offer a Kapara? And the Ksav Sofer writes so beautifully that a Para Aduma is one of the Karbanos that is considered an absolute chok, that we do not understand what it's all about. In fact, the Mishnah says it's Metame es HaTahorim, it's Metayer es HaTmeim. Everything seems to be backwards. Everything seems to be counterintuitive when you come to the mitzvah of Para Aduma. And says the Ksav Sofer, very often that is the experience that we have by Misas HaTzadikim as well. We don't quite understand why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would do such a thing to bring a kapara to his people. Yes, it's true that the death of a tzaddik might bring an atonement for all the Jewish people, but it doesn't make sense to us. How is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow such a tragedy to happen, a person in the prime of their life? And the answer to that is, says the Ksav Sofer, that is what we learn from the Parsha of Para Aduma. Sometimes Misas Miriam, although it is mechaper to have the death of a tzaddik take place, this is something that very often we have very limited understanding of. And I stayed up very late last night watching the funeral that they had in San Diego for this woman, Lori Kay, and some of the Hespedim were extremely inspiring to learn about the life that she lived and the incredible person that she was. But I was reminded of what we say in this week's Parsha, and I'm sure many of us are thinking about that, where we have Acharei Moshnei B'nei Aaron. You have the two children of Aaron HaKohen were killed in none other than the Mishkan, and the Beis HaMikdash itself, in the height of the celebration. So you turn back to Parsha Shemini, and you see what the Torah says there. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Lemor. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Bikrovai Ekadesh. I am going to take those who are the most holy, Va'al Pnei Kalam Ekaved, and as a result of my killing these two children of Aaron HaKohen, I will bring about a great sense of nobility, a great sense of kavod from the rest of the community of the Jewish people. Now this is obviously something that needs to be discussed. What does it mean, Mikrovei Akadesh? And how could it be that the death of the two children of Aaron HaKohen are going to bring about such a glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name? What is that supposed to mean? And I couldn't help but to think, as I'm watching this funeral yesterday, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows somebody to be killed in a shul, in a Beis HaKnesses, in a place where we are mispalel, in the place that Bizman HaZeh, when we have no Beis HaMikdash, is our holiest sanctuary? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows such a thing to happen? Similar to the question that one needs to ask when you come across the story of Acharei Moshe B'nei Aaron. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow such a thing to take place? And I was reminded last night of an amazing mashal that is given by the Dubna Magid. There is no way that I can do justice to the Dubna Magid's words, and that's why I'm going to read them directly from the way he writes it, so that we could appreciate what he says. And he introduces his comment by saying, Yakar be'enei Hashem ha'mavsal ha'chasidav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers far more that a person should live life than a person being able to give over his life. Sheyakrivu ben Adam lekarbon. The Ribono Shel Olam does not want us to be victims. He does not want us to be martyrs. He wants us to live al Kiddush Hashem, to live our entire lives looking out for what the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to accomplish in the world. So why is it, asked the Dubna Magid, that Bikrovai HaKadosh, how could the Ribono Shel Olam do such a thing? Why would he do such a thing at the height of the celebration? Are you trying to teach the Jewish people that this is the pinnacle, that this is the height of Jewish spiritual experience, that you should give up your life al Kiddush Hashem? Obviously not. So what is the Ribono Shel Olam on? In Cain he writes, Roy Aleinu Lases Lev Lahavin, we have to try to really understand, Matzorech Hachinuch B'Misas B'nei Aaron, what was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach us by killing the two children of Aaron? Aki Hu Yizbarach Gila Zos Mitchila, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Medrash says, told Moshe Rabbeinu from the outset, from the beginning of the construction of the Mishkan, he said that Asi Lekadesh Asabayis Azeh BeAdam Gadol. I am going to bring sanctity to this Beis Hamikdash by killing a great person. Why was that necessary and not? Why was that a component that was needed in the construction of the Mishkan, in the building of this beautiful edifice? Explains the Dubna Magid as follows. Hanira Nacham Be'enai, as the Dubna Magid often did, he gave Mishalim. And here, once again, he gives an amazing Mashal. And I find it important to point out that sometimes you hear a story and you laugh and you think it's cute and you think it's sweet. But the Dubna Magid's Mishalim had tremendously rich meaning. In fact, the Vilna Gaon, who lived at the same time as the Dubna Magid, used to invite the Dubna Magid to tell him his Mishalim and to give him Musar. As far as I know, they say that that was the only person that the Vilna Gaon asked specifically that should come and give him Musar was the Dubna Magid. So these stories are not just story tales, they are not just fairy tales, they are real stories that have incredibly rich meaning. And here the Dubna Magid says the following. This can be compared to a Sar Gadol, to a king, to an emperor, Shabana Ir, that he builds a big metropolis, a big city, Vehoshiv Shama Kama Anashim Sochrim Verochlim, and he puts in the city all kinds of merchants and traders and vendors, and he has whatever a person could ever need in a city. On top of all the businesses that he constructs in that city, Ra Lahader Ulafarer, he brings in all kinds of experts that know how to beautify this city and make it the most advanced city that one can ever imagine. B'chomini pe'er v'yofi, he wants to condition it, that it should be the maximum enjoyment, it should be the ultimate pleasure that a human being can ever have in the world, would be to live in this metropolis, in this beautiful built city. And then he wants that this person should also have naharios v'agamim, he wants him to have rivers and streams. V'yaslahem gisharim u'ma'avaros, he should make all kinds of overpasses and promenades and walkways. People should be able to walk through the forest and walk on the banks of the river. V'nata behem eitz kol pri, and he has all kinds of greenery that's growing there. Kramim v'zeisim v'rimonim, he has vineyards and gardens and flowers, meadows and orchards, v'chomine bosem, everything a person can ever dream of having in paradise. That's what the Melech wants to have in his beautiful city, that everything should be taken care of. Ayike chaloso kamalachto. When this person finishes constructing this entire city, and now the work is complete, everybody's looking and marveling at this beautiful construction site, at everything that's been created. This melech, this king, goes to a wise man in the city and he says, I like you to reflect. I want you to walk around the city, take a couple of days, take a few weeks. Halo chachamata, you're a smart person. I want you to look around at everything that we've built here. And I want you to see, is there anything that we are lacking? Is there anything missing here? Because I have all the money in the world. And if there's something that you can identify that would further enhance the life of the community in this town, I will give all the money to provide it for them. So he asked this Chacham to look around. Vayan HaChacham Ayomar, the Chacham walks around the city and he sees, Halo Rofe, Ein Ba Yir Hazos. You've invited all kinds of businesses and we have tremendous opportunity to make great lives for ourselves. And it's very comfortable, and we have the gardens and the rivers, and we have the promenades, and all the beautiful things that you've had made in this city. But the problem is, you didn't think about the fact that we need a physician. We need a doctor in the city. What happens if someone gets sick? What happens if something goes wrong? Could we live in a city that doesn't have a doctor? Nobody thought about that. The king is so happy with this suggestion. He says, you know, completely oversight. I couldn't believe that I forgot about that. He sends messages to all of the academies, and he says, I'd like you to send me the most knowledgeable, the most competent, the most proficient doctor, the most educated professional that you can find, who can come to our city. I'll pay him anything in the world, that he should move his family to our town, in order that he should be able to be available to heal anybody who might potentially get sick in this community. And everybody was excited about the fact that they had identified whoever this individual was, and he was so exceptional, and they sent a letter that there would be a certain date when he would come to their city and he would move in to be the resident doctor. Vayhibi shama hadavar hazos bebeis hasar. Samchum yod kol hashmua. Everyone is excited, everyone is celebrating. Ad asher ba'eis kirvu hayamim el ha'eis. When the time comes closer for that doctor to move into town, he says, Nis'asvu ubo kamasarim mikol ha'arim asvivos. Many ministers and diplomats come out to the middle, the center of town, to greet this individual and show him how excited they are for him to come. So they receive him and they welcome him and they help settle him in and they have a big gala dinner honoring him. And now life begins. One turns to his friend and he says, you know, we're trusting everybody that this man really knows what he's doing. Is there anybody in the community who's sick that we can actually test this guy out? Let's see. Is he really as great as they make him sound? Is he as experienced as people might think? So they look around and they ask, is there anyone who's not feeling well? We have now brought in the most experienced doctor. This is unparalleled in the entire world. Anybody who's sick, we'd like you to present yourself and go to this doctor, see if he can heal you. One man stands up and he says, Roshi, Roshi, Kavod, I have a tremendous headache. Let's see what he can do for me. Okay, headache, not the biggest deal. They say, I'm sure that will take him 5 minutes to take care of. They bring him, they introduce him to this doctor, and they say, maybe you have some kind of remedy, maybe you have some kind of idea of how to heal this guy. Everyone is excited to see what's going to happen. The doctor says, look, there's too much commotion here. Bring him to my house. I need an office. I need a private place where I can examine him, where I can monitor his treatments, where I can figure out how to observe him properly and understand exactly what's going on. And then he makes some kind of diagnosis, and he spends a fortune of money on medications, on all kinds of treatments that he thought were appropriate for this man. And in the end, liyamim achadim meis tachas yado. This man who started off having a headache ends up dying. Now, can you imagine? Fatihi mahuma gedola b'yir. Everybody was confused. The man just came to you. He said he has a headache. Just give him a Tylenol. Give him an Advil. What happened? You spent all this money buying all these medications, doing whatever you needed to do, and then you ended up killing him? He ends up dying just from a headache? How can this be? So the king calls him in and he says, I got to talk to you. Something's not adding up. I don't understand. He spent so much money. You're a professional doctor. Everybody said you're the greatest, most qualified doctor in the world. And this is what happens to a man that has some sort of very insignificant illness. It doesn't make sense. Vayan harofe bechachmaso. And the doctor responds and he says the following. I think it's a powerful statement. Da yididi. Ani betvunas, he said, I did this on purpose. There was a reason why I made this happen. Ki anochi adati v'shamati, he says, I saw how excited the community was to have me coming to town. And he said, I was concerned that as a result of my coming to town, people would start being lax about their own health. People would rely so heavily on the doctor. And he says they're going to go and start drinking things that they shouldn't drink. They're going to start smoking things that they're not allowed to smoke. They're going to be involved in all kinds of dangerous activities because they'll say, don't worry, if anything happens, the doctor's going to save me. And they're not going to remember, you got to look after your own life. If you jump off the bridge, the doctor's not going to save you. If you do dangerous things, doctor can't save you. And the doctor said, I was concerned that people are going to get too comfortable with the reality of the fact that they have a doctor in their lives. And therefore he says, Lachain, Chachamti Amdali, he says, my wisdom told me, Laso says zos be'ez bo'i hena. The first thing that I needed to happen here was I had to show them that sometimes the doctor is unable to heal the patient. That sometimes the doctor is not going to be successful. Al tiftuchu berofim. You can't always put all of your trust in the doctor. Lo ta'aminu berofuos. Don't always think the medical establishment is going to be able to save you. Mi rofe gadol mi rofe zeh asher shamatim. Who's greater and more proficient at medicine than I? Ulami kol chemdas hasgulos hasamim. I have an unlimited budget to bring any medication in the world, and yet he says, kamatarach v'hishtadel berofuos ha'ish hazeh v'lo also biyado. I was unsuccessful in this case. Imkain ein lanu ki im shomer nafsho yirchak mimenu. He said, I meant this as a way to teach this community that they need to look after themselves. Sometimes the doctor is able to help you, should the circumstances allow. But there are times where you need to look after yourself. That is the mashal that the Dubna Magid gives. And he explains the nimshal. Acher ki nasan Hashem Yisbarach Torah liYisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a Torah. And he realized there are 613 mitzvahs. It's difficult to be a Jew. There are so many expectations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for all of us. And he realized, we need a doctor. We need somebody. I've built you this beautiful world, and I've brought everything that one can ever imagine to have the most amazing life and meaningful life that one can ever dream of. But he said, we need to have a doctor in the town also, because what's going to happen when somebody makes a mistake? HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Klal Yisrael to build a Mishkan. And in that Mishkan, he says, you're going to build a Mizbeach. And that Mizbeach is going to afford you the opportunity to bring karbanos. Somebody who makes a mistake, somebody who's not feeling well, somebody who realizes they've done something wrong, has the opportunity to go to the Beis HaMikdash and be mechaper for themselves, and gain an atonement, and go to the doctor to be healed. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm concerned. You're going to become so used to using that outlet. You're going to become so used to relying on the doctor, everybody's going to say, Ech Davi Yashuv, I can have a great time, I can destroy my life, I can do anything in the world, I'll just go the next day and bring a carbon and everything will be fine. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that is an unacceptable way of life. I'm going to take the lives of Nadav and Avihu in the Beis HaMikdash. On the first day at the height of this great celebration, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's the way I'm going to teach Klal Yisrael, you need to look after yourselves. It's true that sometimes you have the ability to rely on the karbanos, on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbeach, a kapara, it's all great. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, ultimately a Jew needs to realize life is in your own hands. And you cannot always rely that Shuva is going to be the answer. You cannot always rely, I'm going to come to Shul, Adav and Shemona Esrei, I'll say Slach Lanu, and the Ribbono Shalom will let me get away with it. Hashem says, I'm going to make this happen in the most pristine, holy place in the world, in the Beis HaMikdash, on the day where we are having the great celebration for the Mishkan and the Karbanos. That is where the Jewish people will learn that lesson. And that, he says, he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Al tiftichu lachem el divrei hasheker lemar. Don't allow yourselves to be convinced by saying, says the Navi Yirmiyah, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. That's always an easy answer, says the Navi. A person can say, I can live whatever life I want, I'll come to the Heichal Hashem and everything will be fine. The Ribbono Shalom will grant me an atonement, he'll give me the opportunity to do tshuva, and everything will be okay. No, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lehotzi adavar hazeh milev ha'amon. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want that we should get too comfortable with that system. Shelo yiftechu berofei velo beharefuos. Lo tia chatos hachatoim gedola me'akapara. Don't allow that the chatos, that the carbon should make you do more averus than you otherwise would have done. Lachein sivev l'nada v'aviyu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, a prerequisite to having this beautiful city, a prerequisite to having this Mishkan in your midst, this Beis HaMikdash, the presence of the Shekhinah, all this beautiful life of Torah mitzvahs, the prerequisite to all of that is, I'm going to take the lesson of Nadav Aviyu to show everybody that you need to look after yourself. Lo nasa p'nei Aaron HaKohen, you can be the son of Aaron HaKohen, that's not going to save you. You can be standing in the Beis HaMikdash, it's still not going to save you. You can be doing avod on the Beis HaMikdash, it's still not going to save you. Hine alzos amar yizbarach, and this HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, bikrovai ekadesh. I'm going to take the holiest ones, and as a result of that, al p'nei kal ha'am ekaved. As a result of that, everybody will learn the lesson that they need to look after their own lives. And that, says the Dumna Magid, you ask yourself sometimes, how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow a tragedy to happen in the holiest of places? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow something to happen in a Beis HaKnesses, in a Beis HaMikdash, in a Mishkan while they're doing the Avodah? The answer is, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to pull us back and remind us, that's not always the easy fix. That's not always the way to get around all of our problems in life. The Ribbono Shel Olam needs to remind us that the shul is not always the answer. That the tefillah is not always the answer. We need to look after the lives that HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusted us to live. And not always is there going to be an opportunity to bring that karban, to offer that tefillah, to klap slach lanu, to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The person as a Jew needs to make sure that they look before they get involved in all of these terrible things. They need to make sure that they understand that there's a rofe. There is sometimes that opportunity. But more important than the rofe is the general understanding of the life and the responsibility that a Jew is expected to live.